The stage is yours.
Thank you very much, Martin. So, as Martin told already to you, I'm Andrea, and I'm a software engineer at Genesio. We are trying to build a cloud platform for web applications, so our users should build web and mobile applications and deploy them to us. Just before starting, I want to set some expectations. So first of all, this talk is going to be a talk of the challenges and solutions we've come up with by running real node applications on unikernels. And secondly, I really hope that this presentation will spark some discussions. I know that the unikernel community is active and creative, and me and my colleagues are going to be around after the presentation for us to speak if you have use cases, questions, challenges that you've tackled and you want to chat with us about them. So let's get down to business. Okay, so before starting to build a platform, we really needed to put down some guidelines and the vision that we want to implement with that platform. So is the sound okay? Because it sounds weird to me. Okay, thanks. So back to vision. So first of all, we really want to optimize resources like power consumption, memory, CPU, and costs for our users. Secondly, we don't want to throw away response time for that optimization that we did. So we want to have a snappy response for our clients. So response time is very, very important to us. And lastly, we want an easy to use, secure, and auto-scaling platform. That means that we want to take the burden from the developer to where I deploy this application, how should I deploy it, how should I scale it, and stuff like this. This is the job of the cloud platform, and we want to provide that to the end user. So, to tick all the boxes, we decided to try unikernels in a function as a service environment. Function as a service essentially means that when we have an incoming request, we spawn a VM that will be bounded in time, so it will live for a few moments, for a few minutes, sorry. It will handle that request and send back the response. And we are doing this in a with the unikernel. So essentially, we have our orchestrator down here, and then for the request, we are spawning a firecracker with OSV, that is the unikernel that we are using, with Node.js, and at the top level, we have the user application. But still, this has some challenges, unique set of challenges than the classic Linux container and classic long-living server. So our challenges are reducing the call starts because we are spawning up many VMs. Essentially, every few minutes, we are spawning new VMs if we have incoming requests. We have to somehow reduce the boot time for these VMs. So we have to boot it very quickly or give it a try to another mechanism to improve this call start. Secondly, because we are a multi-tenant platform, we want to somehow be able to upgrade the unikernel or do patch. A patch is it at the unikernel level without really iterating through each image for each of our users and redeploy everything. And lastly, of course, we want security and we want process isolation. That means we don't want application one to be able to access resource from application two. So we've tackled, first of all, the cold start, which is a big problem in the function as a service world. So to tackle that, we leverage snapshots, as everybody does probably. And we did snapshots as following. We are booting up the unikernel. We are starting the Node.js process. And immediately after we start the Node.js process, we pause. And at that moment, we are creating a snapshot and store it for later. When we want to spawn a new VM, what we do essentially is we start the firecracker, which helps us load the snapshot, and then we are attaching a new disk with the user code, we are mounting it, and we are importing it into the node code that was already started in the snapshot. This will help us with the second challenge that we have, the upgrading the unikernel, and you'll see in a moment how. To optimize even further, what we are doing is that we are not really waiting for requests to come and to then start the firecracker, load the snapshot, and so on. We have already a pool of warmed VMs that are started, but not, they are not scheduled on the CPU. They are just loaded in the memory. And when we have an incoming request, we just take such one VM from the pool, we attach the user code, we handle it, and then we give back the response to the client. Going back to upgrading the unikernel image. So as I told you, we are a multi-tenant platform. So we expect to have thousands of user applications that are running on our platform. So somehow we don't want to embed the user code into the unikernel image, because if we do that, we will have to rebuild each image of each of our user once we do a unikernel upgrade or a patch or a bug fix. So what we are doing is that we are creating a single snapshot with the unikernel and with the node runtime. And as I already told you, we are attaching the user code later. So essentially, when we are doing an upgrade, we just have to upgrade that base image, and each VM that it spawned afterwards, it will reference to that base image. So this is how why we are mounting user code afterwards, and this is how we can enable OSV and unikernel upgrade without really redeploying everything on our platform. And lastly, we are doing security and isolation using Firecracker Jailer. This helps us running each process sandbox. Firecracker Jailer allows us to have different network namespaces in such a way that we are not using the same network interface with each process. We have different file systems and different process namespaces. And also, Jailer allows us to limit resources to make sure that we have some kind of fairness between VMs, because we don't really want one single VM to eat up the whole CPU or the whole I/O bandwidth. So we can control the I/O throughput and CPU time for each VM. Because we are running things with real-world stuff, we also find out some bugs. Especially in the first one is in the Node.js V8 compiler. It used the popf instructions incorrectly, and in the privilege mode, which is the single mode in unikernel, it enables interrupts, and we cannot run any node code. Essentially, all node code was affected by this bug. And also, we fixed some bugs in OSV, and we made some contribution upstream. Those are related to using two file systems, because we need the first file system for the unikernel, and the second one is the user code that we are attaching later. And also, we found out some not POSIX compliant functions in pthreads library. Okay, now let's talk about metrics. So as I told you, the most important thing for us is the request response time, because we want to make sure that the end user of our clients are getting their request as fast as possible, so they have a snappy feeling when they're using the applications. So we actually benchmark that to see if using a unikernel versus a Linux container is as fast, if there is a difference or if there is an improvement. So first of all, we did a bit of setup. We are using a client, so essentially the browser, let's say. The client is in Azure, and then we are comparing with the standard function as a service solution from AWS, and also we have our servers that are running on the Genesio infrastructure. So these are the three actors. We are comparing AWS Lambda with OSV, which is a unikernel solution, and with a classic Linux container to have a full comparison, to have a full picture of the problem. This is the code that we are running. Essentially, it's a hello world code. It's more of a ping. We are just sending a request, and we are getting back a hello world string. And these are the actual numbers. So for a cold core means that there is no VM pre-warmed for us. So at the moment when we are handling the request, we also have to wait for the boot time. And in orange, we have Lambda that was getting us the request back in 300 milliseconds. And in purple, we have the OSV. And in blue, we have the Linux container that are performing like 60 milliseconds. And then we also have the warm call, which is for the Lambda is around 60 milliseconds, and for OSV and Linux is around 30 milliseconds. So as we can see, first of all, is that the OSV and Linux are mostly performing the same. And the first question that comes into mind is, why use a unikernel and why bother with it if the Linux container is just as good? But what we cannot see on this graph is the Linux kernel footprint. So the Linux kernel takes up much more space in storage when we are creating the snapshot, much more space in memory when we are using the pre-warmed pool VMs and so on. So the reason we can use unikernels is that we are optimizing resources, even memory and storage and so on. Next steps for us, first of all, is to integrate many more kernels. So for now, we are just using OSV because it was the mature project at the point that we started, but we want to use many more unikernels that are just developing in the community. And then we also want to add more support for more programming languages. We just went full on for Node.js because it was very popular, but we also want to add more support in a way that every web programmer can deploy its backend code on unikernels. As a last call, I want to stay in touch with the people that are interested in this kind of project. I think that this community of unikernels is very active and is flourishing from the contributions that we are all making. That's all.
Okay, again, time for questions. Yeah, I'll be there.
Hello. Thank you for the talk. Very, very interesting. Just a very simple question. Can you give me an eyeball on how big your unikernel base image for Node.js is?
I don't really have the numbers. So how big is the unikernel image?
Yeah, so...
For Node.
Sorry, Rasmus?
For Node.
I mean what you used in the demo. So you have some megabytes, is the dependencies or so adding up to the gigabytes.
To be honest, I didn't look into megabytes.
Under 100.
So I just received the answer in the headphones. It's megabytes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I may have missed it in the presentation, but in the benchmark that you showed us, obviously Lambda was running on the Amazon hardware. But what was Genesio running on top of?
Genesio is running on top of a bare metal in another cloud deployment, cloud host. So basically we are running, I think, on an ARM server that is bare metal. So we are building everything up on the ground.
Okay, so there may have been a difference also in the hardware that was provided by Amazon and the hardware.
That might be true because the Aves Lambda is running Graviton and we don't have that kind of hardware, of course.
Thanks.
Yeah.
More questions, yes.
It's a bit of exercise for me.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So thank you for the presentation. I have a question. Like from someone considering to do serverless and knowing that there is AWS Lambda, what is basically your selling point? Why would one use Genesio versus Lambda, given that AWS is a big company and the Lambda has been around for a long time?
Oh, I see. So there are a lot of reasons why you would use Genesio over a Lambda. So first of all, we provide a much more easy tooling to use. So it's more targeting to have a very low learning curve. So you can just pick up Genesio in matters of minutes. Than AWS Lambda, which is a bit hard to understand for a first-time user. And secondly, AWS Lambda is not really interested in resource optimization, at least at what we tested right now. So with unikernels, we want to provide even more resource optimization and lower costs.
Yeah, hi. Hello. Thank you for the presentation. One of the things that's interesting about Lambdas now is they have a snapshot mechanism for Java, Is that something which you're looking to do as well, is to have snapshots for different platforms and different kind of runtimes on top of your Firecracker?
Yeah, so we are planning to use the same mechanism that we use for Node.js. So basically every programming language that we want to support, it will also have snapshots and it will benefit from the same mechanism that we use.
Okay, surprisingly, we have still time for questions. Okay.
Bring them on.
Yeah, Razvan will kill it.
No worries. Very nice optimizations. I mean, with the preheating and the pooling and the others, are you targeting or are you planning to target also kernel internals? Because I mean, I'm getting this experience from Unicraft, but also I guess in OSV you could do a lot of fine tuning there. Are you looking into that, or are you looking only on how to optimize it via, let's say, external means? Because what you showed there is I have this VM, I pre-warm it. Is it something internals? For example, bootloaders. Boot times are dreaded even in your major unikernels. Firecracker can be also configured to ditch a lot of devices. All those sorts of stuff can be fine-tuned and optimized for different use cases. If you're using Node, some items may not be required, so you can do, I'm not sure, some postponing. Are looking into that as well? I mean, more kernel internals?
Yeah, so we are also looking into that. We didn't really look into the bootloaders, but for example, we looked on how to improve the network stack because it takes up a lot of time to boot up the network stack.
Valdek, is it LWIP? What is the networking stack of OSV? The networking stack, is it also LWIP or what is it for OSV? The net stack?
I'm not sure.
It's the networking stack. What is it? Okay, that's a good one. I mean, LWIP is dreadful, but BSD is a better one. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so I know that we are looking into that. But right now, the things that we already have implemented are just treating OSV as a black box.
Okay. But yeah, the next step for us would be to also optimize
No, for sure, because I mean, Unicraft also would take doing a different approach, but I think that's a very nice spot and very challenging to look into. And unikernels provide this because you are able to actually optimize the application itself by optimizing the kernel because of the way it's running. Did you use SMP support for this, or is it currently running single core?
It's running single core.
No?
We have
different machine sizes.
No. I mean the deployment of VM. Can a VM run multi-threaded with different threads on different cores?
Yes.
Okay.
So when you deploy something, you can choose the machine size. You have different sizes. Size, minimum, large. That's the and they have different CPU numbers.
Okay. For an actual unikernel instance.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Great.
Okay. Let me have a question as well. I was quite taken by surprise that you don't optimize the image, which sort of goes, in my opinion, against the benefits of unikernels, that you really optimize down the image just specifically to the workload and the APIs and whatever that the client is using. So why do you do this trade-off? Do you really think your customers really think that rebuilding the images is so cumbersome?
So that means that we have to let our clients tinker with the unikernel image, right? So we are actually targeting users that are not that much into the unikernel stuff, so they are much into writing backend code and so on, and they have knowledge into that direction. So we kind of try to abstract that. So maybe this is why we did choose to create the base image for them without really asking them how can we improve it even more.
Okay, so basically you are saying that you are not automating it, so you don't want to push that burden to the clients, right?
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. So maybe one final question? Okay, nothing? Anyway, thanks for the talk.
Thank you.